you know what? It just struck me.
Yeah.
I need to buy a table to eat from.
We can get one at IKEA. They make quite affordable tables. It doesn't have to be a big one either.
That would be fine.
It's to see one or two people even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I can finally do some driving, I'll certainly buzz around town.
Yeah. Hillary and I will talk again tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's part of the thing is that you have these experiences in your life, and I do have had mine, and other people have had their experiences, and you think there are lessons to be learned and that these experiences have value, and you tend to think that the value should not be lost.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And because if you don't tell of what your children what happened before you were born, you'll never know what really to fight for.
Well, there's also a sense of a familial community to know where you've come from.
Yeah.
The people that have produced you. Why that's recording right now. That's why that's recording right now.
Yeah.
So I've been very clear with my own kids about you and mom's history and where the lineage comes from. It blows me away when I meet people who have no idea where their grandparents came from.
I know.
I don't understand that at all.
There's a...
Or more on that... If there's no desire to find out. It's one thing not to know, but to not have a desire to find out is strange.
It's a fundamental breakdown in communication, isn't it? I mean, feelings.
It seems to me like you're living completely and utterly alone in the moment the entire time if you don't know where you've come from.
Yeah. Well... That's why I tell you, like, the funny stories about my grandmother, Sophie Grådert, in relation to the Norwegian stodginess.
Yeah.
It's important. Yeah. It's important to be able to laugh about that and to know that people were doing such things and experiencing such things 50, 100 years ago. Yeah.
And the crazy outliers like Gustav, who stand out from the complete mediocrity of so much else that was happening in your own family.
Yeah.
I think I would have gone out of my mind in that period of time with the sensibilities that I have now. I'm sure I would have been a product of that environment at the time, as you probably would be too.
Well, you can't escape your past.
Yeah.
It's going to be with you. And so part of it is expunging yourself. That's why my last book, you know, Vietnam, 86 to 88, I needed to get rid of it. It was a really bad experience. And I tried to share it with Sigurd down in the States, who had spent 2 years in Tanzania on the Peace Corps. And he learned Swahili.
Oh.
Well, his reaction to the book was that I didn't give credit to all the good times. But there were, as far as I was concerned, there were no good times. It was one holy hell.
It was only 10 years after the war.
Yeah.
That's not very long.
11 to 13 years from 75 to 86 and 88 when I went home.
Yeah. Not very long, really.
But I thought, I was too naive, I thought that the country would have been able to get up off its knees and repair itself. But what angered me so much was that I didn't know at that time, but I knew afterwards when I started to read about it, that it was due to the Americans. Not that they lost the war, but they were...
punitive.
They had this embargo that kept them on their knees.
Yeah.
Man, that made me angry. And I was part of feeling the brunt of that.
Yeah. I think when they don't get their way, the Americans can be very vengeful. Yeah.
You can really develop anti-feelings when you have, you know, when you spend, I think it was 60 days that I was there each time. 2 months. You lose all contact with the outside.
Mm-hmm.
You have no telephone. You have no radio. You have no one working beside you in the area that you're working. You are in there to try to find the truth that they don't want to tell you about.
Mm-hmm.
So it is. It's a very lonely experience. Horribly confined and isolated. And I thought to myself, for the second visit, I was able to buy this radio. We landed somewhere in the Middle East. I went into a tax-free store and bought this because I realized I couldn't go in again and not know something about what was happening through BBC. And the United Nations didn't know enough to be aware of how really dangerous it was to go there. There wasn't a Vietnamese person except that your translator with whom you could have any kind of conversation. And most people stared at you with hatred in their eyes because here was another goddamn foreigner messing in Vietnam. They didn't know why I was there. And the FAO people didn't tell me anything about that. Nothing. They told me what I had to do. So you've had some scary experiences from what you talked about yourself, and you were able to do something about it and get yourself out of those pickles.
Yeah.
You're lucky.
Yeah.
I at least was in Vietnam on a special visas,
yeah.
And I had the defense that I worked for the United Nations. I wasn't a spy.
Yeah.
You had nothing.
Well, you were stuck there, though. I was at least mobile. I've done some really dumb things. I really badly scared a Jordanian man once.
Scared of what?
I really badly scared a Jordanian man once. It was a very stupid thing to do. I was in Amman at nighttime in a market, a covered market near the amphitheater. There's a big Roman amphitheater right in the middle of Amman, and nearby is a covered market where you can go and sit on cushions and blankets under in a tent and eat your dinner by hands and smoke shisha. And I was there with a guy younger than me, a little bit younger than me, from Winnipeg. He was a Mennonite, but he was there working on the archaeological dig, a student. But he looks very Middle Eastern, long curly hair. And we were talking with this man, this Jordanian, who was beautifully dressed in a beautiful white galabiyah, and he was very well groomed. And he told us that he was a farmer with 21 children, which I didn't believe for a second. No. I thought that he was Jordanian police. No. So I told him that I was CIA and that my colleague was Syrian intelligence. And he went white, gray. He was so scared. He got up right away and said he was busy and his hands were shaking and he left. That was a stupid thing to do. I thought I was being smart. That was a very dumb thing to do. I scared him really badly.
Yeah. I think that when I get scared, my judgment just goes out the window.
I think that's true of most.
Yeah.
I got irrationally scared once in Guatemala on my second trip. I was in a small town in the south, maybe 5,000 people.
Where is this?
In Guatemala, yeah. In the south, on my second trip. And I was just traveling through the small town, and it was late in the afternoon, and I got a really bad feeling, and I had no basis for the feeling. And I'd already taken a hotel room, and I thought for sure somebody was going to come in and steal from me in the middle of the night and maybe put a knife in my ribs. I don't know. It was completely irrational. And I was so scared, I went down and I canceled my reservation, paid my night anyway, took my belongings and jumped on a bus and took a night bus to the next town. And then went and found a late night hotel in the next town. No reason whatsoever for me to do that. I can't think of a single reason why I should have felt so anxious. But it happened.
Oh, you get to points where you realize that things are accumulating around you and you haven't been part of this.
Yeah. But usually you have some clues. But I had no clues. I just had, all I had was the anxious feeling in my chest. I could hardly breathe. I was positive somebody was going to try to stab me and steal from me that night.
Yeah. No, I think it's correct to respond to those feelings.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong about that. I think that it's just like Leslie was talking about having to crawl that distance with a broken leg.
Yes, and packing her pants with snow.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
I mean, to do that.
Yeah. It's will. That's will to do
that. Well, but it's also will on your part when you feel that anxiousness.
Yeah.
This has to do with survival, too.
It is. It was purely
exactly
that.
Exactly the same thing.
It was purely that, yeah.
And we do things that may, in hindsight, may not look very reasonable.
Yes.
But forget it. Yeah. It is reasonable.
I don't know what I would have done if I'd stayed. But for the risks that you take, and for the risks that I know I've taken, holy cow, sometimes the payoff is more than you can imagine. Yeah. I spent a week camping in the desert out of Wadi Rum in southern Jordan. Every 2 days, I walked back into the town and got more water and walked back out and slept in the desert. Unbelievable experience. Sleeping on a blanket under the stars in the desert. Oh, I can't believe I did that. Crawling up rocks and around faces looking for a flat place to put my blanket. Amazing. I can't believe I did that for a week. Amazing.
Quite an experience.
Yeah. I saw so many shooting stars, I lost count and just fell asleep.
The richness of that sky.
Unbelievable. In the desert, there's unbelievable the sky. It's so bright with stars, you can read a newspaper. Unbelievable.